Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
I have a little confession to make, but just before I tell you what it is, I want you to make a quick confession to me. As you listened to today's gospel passage, if you did not feel a little stressed out, raise your hand. That's right, raise your hand if you were thinking to yourself, the Beatitudes. Yeah, I get it. I've got them nailed. Anyone? Luke's description of Jesus' words to his disciples and a crowd of curious onlookers is disturbing. Blessed are you who are poor. Woe to you who are rich. Blessed are you who weep now. Woe to you who are full now. And for me, the most painful, blessed are you when people hate you. And woe unto you when all speak well of you. For me, these words feel like a punch in the gut. Why? Because here I am living in Silicon Valley, managing a university endowment, and serving as deacon at Stanford. So as the world defines success in terms of material comfort and status, it doesn't get much better. As a guilt-ridden Irish Catholic, the Beatitudes make me feel like I'm living a downright bourgeois life. Listening to Jesus' message this afternoon, I'm compelled to think that instead of being here, I ought to be in the visiting room of the juvenile jail in San Jose, or deaconing at a homeless shelter. I suspect that the Beatitudes sum up some discomfort and maybe a bit of cognitive dissonance in more than a few of us here. But rather than focus on that, let's ask ourselves, how can you and I reconcile Jesus' words with the decisions that we make and the actions that we take in our everyday lives? Simply put, how can we make the spirit of the Beatitudes part and parcel of daily life? All of today's readings pose serious questions for you and me. On whom or what do we set our hearts? What values lie behind the outlooks that we have? And what informs our decisions and the actions that we take? The prophet Jeremiah provides us with two rich images that'll help us answer these questions. The contrast between them is stark. On the one hand, he focuses our attention on a lovely tree planted behind us, along a stream of living water. On the other, he presents us with a lone, bare tree that struggles in the desert. In the first image, the leaves of the tree are green. It is strong, flourishing, and well able to withstand the strongest of storms. The tree is also fruitful. It enriches the world with its seed. Now, you and I have classmates and colleagues and friends in our lives who remind us of this tree. These men and women know who they are and where they're going in life. Their focus is clear. They stand for something. They make commitments and they keep them. We know that we can count on these people. They're a source of life to all whom they meet. An example. This past week, I was fortunate to attend a talk given by a member of our Catholic community. Maria shared a number of details about her life and spoke about her values and dreams to over 200 of her Stanford Business School classmates. Her message was soulful, funny, and outrageous. One of her refrains was, "Kaboom! God moments." The 2-minute long standing ovation that she received at the end of her presentation testified to how deeply her listeners had been touched by Maria's authenticity and her desire to serve God by serving others. Now, what about Jeremiah's second image, that lone barren bush struggling in the desert? It has no leaves and resembles a bunch of dry sticks more than anything else. Sad to say, this second image also brings to mind people whom you and I know or know of. Men and women who appear to be morally hollow, who enrich themselves at the expense of others. Perhaps like corporate executives marketing e-cigarettes and vaping products to adolescents and young adults. Or those young people we all know who seek meaning in all the wrong places or settle for pseudo-intimacy in their personal relationships. How can we make sense of these two contrasting images the prophet presents to us? While Jeremiah might be counseling us not to put our trust solely in humans, he's surely not encouraging us not to let go and to isolate ourselves in some dark corner away from other people. Actually, he's advocating just the opposite. For we're meant to live and find meaning in community, in relationships, in mutual interdependence. After all, no one goes to God alone. What the prophet is challenging are those worldviews that leave God and the divine mystery out of the process, as well as points of view that insist that humans can do it all on their own. Jeremiah knows that these approaches to life will lead eventually to a dead end, a sterile bush, an earth that is salt and empty. Jesus, in Luke's account of the Beatitudes, takes us a step further. He confronts directly the attitudes and ideals of this world. For a moment, think about what passes for wisdom, the good life, success in our society. Let's consider the way that social media has exploded over the past few years. The great paradox here is this. We're all networked like never before, and in so many ways for the better, but there's also a manipulative underbelly in technology. Programmers are often given incentives to make their apps as addictive as possible. They strive to develop techniques which cause users to continually check their online chatting, gaming, or snapping. For those of us who live in the world alongside adolescent boys, just try to cut short a session of Fortnite and you'll see what I mean. In the Beatitudes, Jesus offers us a completely different way of living, as well as a way of looking at life. The Lord reminds us that wealth and food and comfort and being respected are not evil in and of themselves. No, they are goods. But they were never meant to be at the center of our lives, nor were they to be the place where we put our fundamental trust. They're means only. For the source of genuine life lies elsewhere, in a commitment to the Lord. And yet, you and I so often find ourselves living in a society which offers a totally contrary message. So how can you and I make sense of the Beatitudes? How can you and I find meaning and blessedness in things like poverty and hunger? We can only make sense of Jesus' message this afternoon if we undergo a revolution of the heart. For the way of Jesus, life coming out of death, and riches to be found in being stripped of wealth and plenty, is foolishness when judged by the values of this world. Jesus' Sermon on the Plain in today's gospel is the blueprint for a Christian life. It's one of the best summaries of his teachings. Live simply, live gently, keep in mind always the needs of others as well as the generations that will come after us. To live a just life in this world is to identify with the hungers and longings of the poor, the meek, those who weep, and to act accordingly. And this blueprint takes a lifetime to learn and to implement. Which brings us back to the dilemma I posed earlier. To make the spirit of the Beatitudes part of our daily life, you and I don't need to change geographies or switch jobs. Rather, to become one with the Lord, we need simply to let the message found in today's gospel school our hearts and shape our thoughts and decisions in ways in which we interact with one another. One of the great mysteries of the Incarnation is that these lessons come to maturity differently in each of us. For example, for Michael, a Stanford Computer Science master's degree recipient, the Beatitudes is manifested in his decision to bypass lucrative job offers in order to develop an app, Johigo, that enables poor people in dozens of cities around the country to seamlessly access health resources and training and educational opportunities. There are no cookie-cutter solutions. After graduating from Stanford 5 years ago, Megan did switch geographies, but only to earn a graduate degree in theology and an MBA. She figured the MBA would help her to implement the theology. Megan lives the Beatitudes by serving as the National Director for Esteem, an outfit that engages Catholic college students and trains them for service in their local churches after they graduate. And the Beatitudes can be manifested in the lives of Stanford students who perform more traditional roles as well, as engineers, as entrepreneurs, financiers, or as parents. A final example is Alice, who quit her job as an engineer at Google to manifest the Beatitudes as a homemaker, to be a full-time mom for her now 4 children. Blessed are they who have an abundance of talent. Blessed are they who have resources. Blessed are they if they possess the mind of the poor, the desire to mentor, parent, build, and give completely of themselves. As we gather this afternoon at the table of the Lord, let's be mindful that our purpose in life is not to make a fortune, nor to pursue pleasure, nor to make sure that our name is remembered in history. No. Our purpose in life is to discover that spark of the divine that's in our hearts. Kaboom! God moments. And to witness through who we are as people and how we live our lives to that very simple and profound truth that's found in today's gospel message. That it is in dying to self that we're born anew to life in the Lord.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at web.stanfordcatholic.org or visit our offices on the 3rd floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.